Well, Father, I thank you for what you did during praise and worship. I thank you what you're doing, going to do throughout the service tonight. Father God, look down upon this church. Look at the hearts. Minister to those hearts, Father. Meet every need. We need your healing touch in so many ways, God. And I'm asking you, Father God, to finish the work she started during praise and worship. And we just thank you and we praise you. We give you all honor and all glory. This is your service. Do with it what you want, Father. Move any way you want to. We submit ourselves to you 100%, totally and completely. You have to do something with me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just hearing God say, take a second. And look at what the Lord has done in your life. Look at all the positive and not one bit of negative. He's also saying, if you're thirsty and dry, come to my river tonight and drink freely. I am here in all my fullness, children. I don't want you to leave thirsty tonight. My resurrection power is among you. Drink deeply of that river of life. You know, just the Holy Spirit's here so powerfully right now. Just drink deep of His presence. Don't let anybody distract you. Just deep, drink deep of His presence right now. I'm going deep down into the recesses of your heart right now. I am doing the works that you've been crying out for me to do. My living waters will cause you to overflow with my joy. His presence is so strong, it's really hard to stand. Thank you. Drink deep tonight. Just drink deep. Thank you, Jesus.
I am taking you deeper into my heart, into my love. Children, this is just the beginning of the greater works that I promised you would take place in this time period. There is always newness of life. But what I am preparing you for is far beyond your expectation and your understanding of what it is that I'm doing. I love you desperately, and I am going to fill you with that love so that you can go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. As you touched my face tonight, I touched each and every one of you. I caused things to happen in the spirit realm, and you will soon see them manifest. There is more revelation that I'm going to be bringing to each and every one of you. The corporate anointing will grow stronger. I am drawing all men unto me in this hour, and I will get the glory. You must understand that the war zone is going to continue. The great onslaught has begun. The enemy does not want you all to win. But I have already ordained it. I have already fixed it in the heavenlies. And the enemy has lost forever. Do not be satisfied. Continuously hunger and thirst after me, after my presence. I will fill you each and every time. I will take you to a deeper place. My fire, my wind, my breath, it will consume all. It will consume you from the crown of your heads to the soles of your feet. Know that this is just the beginning.
If the Holy Spirit is still ministering you, please just let me minister. But I'm going to go ahead and start this teaching. All right, God said, you are living among the tombs. The throes of the abyss have taken over this generation. Some are no longer living. They are walking dead men. The enemy has taken over their vessels to carry out the gross darkness covering the earth. Now, when God told me, said to me, you are living among the tombs, of course, we all know what that's about. The man in the tombs is a character in the Bible possessed by an evil spirit. He lived in the tombs and no one could bind him. Not even with chains, he was a walking dead man. So what God is saying here, you are living among the tombs. We are living among a demon-possessed generation. We are living among a group of people who have been taken over by the enemy. and they don't really know how to get be set free. All right. Makes sense to you? All right, let's go to Mark 5 and read about this. Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles for the feet and with chains, and he tore apart the chains and broke the shackles into pieces. And no one was strong enough to subdue and tame him. Night and day he was constantly screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains and cutting himself with sharp stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him in homage. And screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He said, "What business do we?" So there was more than one demon in this man. "Have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God." This is where I think that Katie Sousa gets her teaching that if you get sick, you have something in common with the devil. Or if you're having problems, you have something in common with the devil. In other words, there's something you're doing that allows the enemy to attack you or harass you, okay? He said, "Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God, swear to me, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." It says Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" You know, these are things Jesus was doing. And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." See, people say you don't talk to the demons, but Jesus would talk to this one. And he, the demon, began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs grazing there on the mountain. And the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs that we may go into them." Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. The herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned one after the other in the sea. We are living among the demon-possessed. Remember whenever we started doing exorcisms? And I said, "God, why are we now doing exorcisms?" He says, "Because the demons have gotten larger and the people are more possessed with these demons." Then God said, "This harvest of lost souls..." Can I have my water? This harvest of lost souls will need the miracle working power of my glory. See that? That's why he wants his glory to be here. He said, "This harvest of lost souls will need the miracle working power of my glory. Have I not been telling you to dress in your full armor? You cannot go into this battle naked." See this? We get up in the morning, instead of dressing in God's armor, we just start running around doing our thing, and it gives the enemy full permission to attack us. God said, "Look around about you. I did not create a generation of darkness, gloom, doom, and despair. Everything I created is beautiful." This fallen generation, all right, so he said, "Look around about you. I did not create a generation of darkness, gloom, doom, and despair." That's what we're living in, isn't it? A generation of no hope. And it's dark. It's truly dark all around about you. This fallen generation are those who turned their minds over to delusion and allowed the enemy free access into their very souls to work out the evil deeds you are witnessing at this very moment. This fallen generation, the harvest that's out there waiting to be brought in, are those who turned their minds over to delusion and allow the enemy free access into their very souls to work out the evil deeds you're witnessing at this very moment. The people had to submit themselves to the enemy in order for him to take over their vessels. And God said, in the days before you, you will see darkness like has never been seen upon the earth. You cannot be outside the Father's arms. You must be in my perfect will at all times. This is important for you to know and understand tonight. You cannot be outside the Father's arms. You must be in his perfect will at all times. God said, I have warned you that you're in the battle of the ages, and all-out war is being conducted in the heavenly realm. The enemy is waging a no-holds-barred war against my church. Now, a no-holds-barred situation refers to one where there are no restrictions or rules. It's often used to describe intense conflicts or competitions where participants are willing to do whatever it takes to win. And the enemy is going to do whatever he can to steal you away from God. He doesn't care what kind of tactic he uses. Whatever works, he's going to do. You have to make sure that he has nothing to work with. And don't let him threaten you with your children. Don't let him threaten you with your spouse, your jobs, or anything else. God said he would keep you. You have to follow God at all costs. This has been going on for a while now where God's been saying we have to follow him at all costs. But the problem is people have not yet understood that statement. All right, God said, this very moment we are in this war with no limits or boundaries. Everything goes. Some of you are saying the enemy cannot kill me, but you do not understand the fullness of that statement. And when God spoke that, I said, you know, that is true. You know, the enemy can't take our life, but he can sure make you wish you were dead. You know, we get sort of cocky, like I did, and said, well, you can't kill me. But by the time he's finished with me, I wish I was dead sometimes. And see, and we aren't prepared to fight. Because, oh, well, you just can't kill me. Well, you don't know what he can put you through until your test or your trial is over. And God said, some of you are saying the enemy cannot kill me, but you do not understand the fullness of that statement. This is why we just need to quit throwing cliches out there. We have to know what we're saying when we put it out there in the atmosphere. Because the enemy's going to grab that, whatever you say, and he's going to work with it. God said, when I say, come away, my beloved, I do not mean for you to take a sidestep. I mean, come away into the secret place that I take you to. The enemy will not be able to touch you, and I will give you instructions on how deep warfare that is needed to continue on the next leg of this all-out warfare. You guys, the war is going to get worse. It's not going to get easier. Lives are going to be lost. They were in the Bible. We have got to understand that the enemy, he doesn't care how he plays. And he plays for keeps. See, the body of Christ, we don't play for keeps. We just fool around. And the next thing you know, here comes the enemy again. He sees a crack in your armor, and in he comes. You can't have any crack in your armor ever again. With how strongly the Father's moving and the Holy Spirit's moving in praise and worship, it's really hard to really get into a teaching because he's catching us up so deep into his spirit. What's her name? Vianna, I'm sorry. Vianna, you were sitting there and you were so caught up in the spirit. God wants to start using you to prophesy when you're like that. So get ready, you're going to hear me say Vianna. And I didn't do it tonight because I disobeyed God because I figured that you might fall off your chair or something. But get ready, this is what God's going to start doing. So, you know, instead of me allowing God to use you, I looked at Krista, do you have a word? He said, yes. But we need to understand that the deepness of God is already in us. And God's trying, he's going to start pulling that out when you least expect it. And we have to be ready. What's the Bible say? In season, out of season. Just what God says, calls you by name, do what he's telling you to do. All right, now the second thing that God says, that I'm shaking the mulberry bushes for you for the last time. So I looked up about the mulberry bushes. In 2 Samuel 5:24, God instructs David, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then stir yourself up. For then Yahweh has gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. All right, the first thing God said, we're walking among the tombs, all right? Now here he's saying, I'm shaking the mulberry bushes for the last time. And whenever he told David that, he was letting them know that he was there for them. The rustling of the mulberry trees signaled divine intervention. And it was a precise moment for victory against the Philistines. God has been telling us he wants to do divine intervention. And you know, God wants us to be ready for him to move on our behalf and not get all upset when the enemy attacks. We have to be encouraged in the Lord at all times, knowing that no matter what the enemy throws our way, God has already been there and fixed that thing for us. Now, some interpretations even suggest that the rustling was caused by angels moving through the trees ready to aid David in battle. So, in essence, God was assuring David of his presence, you know, God's presence, and assistance in the upcoming conflict. We already know that God has told us that the angels are on the scene, just waiting to do our battle for us. And then, by telling us that he is shaking the mulberry bushes for the last time, he is saying this is the last battle before the second coming, and he is prepared to protect us as we go forth of the gospel, bringing in the harvest. All right? So he's already gone before us. He knows every battle he has assigned for us to go through, and he's already prepared the victory. And the angels are, I believe that when they say that the angels were moving through the trees, the angels are moving throughout the earth, and they are moving in our lives, and they're here to assist us. Now, the third thing that God said was, some in the body, because of lack of commitment, have become unteachable. These once were teachers, and now they have to be taught. And I looked up Hebrews 5:12-14. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. We know that God just told us a couple months ago, first is last, last is first. So that means the people who have had the anointing and God was going to use mightily, they're going to be last, and the new ones that are coming in don't even know what you know God is going to use them instead. All right, and All right, now the fourth thing that God says is get under the juniper tree. It is there I will protect and feed you until your opportune moment. So I looked up the juniper tree. All right, Elijah flees to Orb in 1 Kings 19:1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. In other words, she was going to kill him. Elijah was afraid. This great prophet of God was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a juniper tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I think some of you are going through right now, if you said, God, I'd just soon die as to continue on with this battle. All right, he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals in a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. God knows that his prophets are battle-weary. He knows that. And what did God tell us to do? Get under the juniper tree. It is there I will protect and feed you until your opportune moment. In other words, he's going to strengthen you until you're strong enough to go forth and do the complete your mission for God. All right, then, we'll get back here to Elijah. There he went and spent the night. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left. Remember I told you, God told me, you're not the only one in the boat, so quit complaining. Some of you are saying that too. I'm the only one. God, no, you're not. God's telling us there's more than you in the boat with you. You're going through the same things you're going through. He said, I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, anoint Hazael king of over Aram. Also anoint Jehu the son of Nimish king over Israel, and anoint Elijah son of Shaphat from Abel to succeed you as a prophet. I don't want him to start telling me to anoint people. All right. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. God reserved 7,000. God is reserving you too. He's not going to let the enemy take you out before you finish your mission for God. So no matter what the enemy is doing to you, keep going. And a lot of you in here are prophets, and that's why the enemy is attacking you. He's trying to take out God's true prophets right now so he can use his false prophets. Just as God ministered to Elijah under the juniper tree, he desires to minister to the body. His desire is to strengthen them and then send them on their destiny. That was me saying that. God has been telling his body to be still, get under the juniper tree, but the body thinks they know more than God and are going ahead of God. Some are losing their mantles. Others aren't hearing God's voice correctly and doing things they should not be doing. Some have become unteachable and are coming against the prophets of God. They have the poor me syndrome going just as Elijah did. You know, Elijah, I'm the only one, poor me. All right. Just as he passed Elijah's mantle to Elijah, God is in the process of passing many mantles to others. Now, so lately God has been saying, be still. And everybody said, I'm tired of being still. I want God to answer me. I want God to use me. But see, that's the enemy trying to get you out of the will of the Father. He wants you to be still because he's still trying to teach you something. He's still trying to get you healthy enough, you know, and strong enough to be able to go out and fight the enemy that you're going to fight. So I'm asking you tonight, because God told us to get under the juniper tree and rest, I'm asking you to do that. Let God keep you in that resting place. God has me, he's told me, be still. He has me in a resting place, and it's driving me to distraction. I'm still going to church. I'm still studying. I'm still doing my housework, but he's had me be still. He's not let me be active in anything, all right? So it's not a bad thing if you're not being active. It's really a good thing, because God knows you're not yet strong enough to be able to do the things that he's calling you forth to do. Now, God is calling some of you to hold conferences. You need to get that done. You know, the youth are getting they're going to start in August with their youth group. They are on working what God's telling them to do. And if God has called you to do something like that, then he will equip you. And he's not going to let you go out there barren and weak. He's going to make sure you are ready to withstand the throes of hell, because that's who's coming at you at this given time, is the enemy. And he's trying to defeat you and trying to get you to get out of the Father's will. And I'm seeing a lot of people right now getting out of the Father's will because they think that they should be doing this. And I know when you sometimes we prophesy to you, God said, do it right now. But when he tells me that, I find out it's 5 years down the road. And I've come to this conclusion, whenever he says do it right now, he's wanting me to get myself prepared, you know, do whatever I need to do with the Father so I'm ready whenever he said now is the time. Because he's going to do this overnight. You won't have to question, is this God? You're going to know that it's God, because it's just going to be a now thing. But I do know some people are getting have already gotten ahead of God, and they're questioning God, and you need to quit that. Questioning God is a bad thing to do. I know. I've been there, and I hate to admit every now and then I do it still. But I don't move. I just question. I don't move. I stay where God has me planted. Are you understanding that tonight? You know, I would like to be in a new building. I would like to have the glory moving right now. I would like to have just open the doors, and we don't do anything but just, you know, take care of the people as they fall out in the spirit. You know, pull them aside so somebody else can get their spine. You know, that's what we used to do, and that's what I would like to do. But that's what I used to do, and God said, "Don't desire what you used to do. Have, you know, because I have something so much greater for you." So then I'm like a horse, you know, getting ready to run a race. I want the greater things that God wants us to do. It's just not me, it's the whole church. So, and God said, as you stay in unity, everybody will see, have a bit of the puzzle. And as we put our bit, you know, the information God gives us into this puzzle, this is what he's showing me, then we'll have the whole picture. Because we get out of disunity and allow the enemy to come in and steal your piece of the puzzle's never hasn't been completed. Are you understanding this? There's a newness of life that's already on the church. And, you know, the old has already been taken away, and everything's new now for us. I mean, you know, there's new faces, new voices, and new things to do, and it's just so much newness of life that's going on. And it is exciting, and it's really hard to be still and sit under the old juniper tree. But we have to do that if that's what God's saying to do. Because we want to... You're like me. I know you're like me. You're ready to run your race and get the fullness of what God's trying to do for you. Now, see, the youth group, they know that they're going to do it sometime in August. I forgot the date. Catherine, she's getting ready to do her conference. So they both know that they're getting ready to do it. But this is what will happen. And I'm sitting here while you're being ministered to, and God said this, I want this one to do this, I want this one to do this. He's telling me what to tell you people that he wants you to do. And that's where I get all my ideas, because I'm sitting here and God's telling them to me. And see, this is it. I'm being still before God. I'm watching or listening to what God's saying to other people, and because I'm being still before him, I'm listening for his voice, and he can tell me what's going on. Everybody in this room, you could be sitting right in this room right this second. You could be listening to me speaking, but you could hear also God giving you instructions to do something. You can do two things at one time. I know you can. So God might ask you to do 10 things at one time. Whatever God asks you to do, you're able to do. So that was four things that God informed us that was going on right now. But we're living among the tombs, right? We're supposed to be under the juniper tree. Where some are becoming unteachable. And what was the next one? I forgot what it was. What? All right, A was you're living among the tombs. This is very important that you get this tonight, because something's going to be happening and you're going to be involved in it. Well, I must went by something here. Oh, B is I'm shaking the mulberry bushes. In other words, God is protecting us, okay? And then the third thing was we're becoming unteachable. And then the fourth thing is that, what is it? Oh, get under the juniper tree. God is saying, I am able. He's able. Are you able? In other words, he's able to do everything he told you he would do for you tonight. Are you able to receive what he wants to do for you? Are you at a place in your walk with God where you have totally and complete? I mean, I know you say it with your head, but it needs to come from your heart. You need to get it out of this head and let what you're saying come from your heart. Because whenever you say it with your head, you never get anywhere. You're still sitting spinning your wheels. But when you say it with your heart, then God can start moving in your life. Some of you right now tonight, he wants to get you ready for a great move of his spirit. And you've said, here I am, Lord, use me, out of your mouth. But it never has come from your spirit, man, out of your heart. And he wants you to be totally and completely committed to him tonight, so he can get you prepared to do the things he's told you to do. I know some people come in here and he said you're going to have ministries. Now, he can't put you in a ministry unless you're totally, completely sold out to him. You say, well, there's churches on every street corner, but there isn't going to be churches on every street corner pretty soon, because God's closing down churches. And he's closing down churches that are run by religion, and he's bringing on the scene churches that are run by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you're walking with God in the Spirit, not walking in religion, then God can use you. And if you have flaws, God can correct those flaws. You know, Moses stuttered. I said, God, I can't even pass an oral communication class. I can't go and teach. You can do anything God calls you to do. All right? So, in your heart of hearts, are you truly ready for God to take you over and use you? I want to say this. You have to be walking in the glory, because it's going to take glory for the miracles. So are you ready for God to take you over and use you? Let his glory fall upon you in such a way it will never leave you again. And you know, when you're sitting with Vianna and Kirsten, you know, I watch them as the Holy Spirit takes them over. They are truly and completely taken over by the Spirit of God. There's nothing pretend here. And this is what God, I just see them because they're here in front of my face. But this is what God wants tonight. He wants to totally and completely consume you so that the enemy has no place in you ever again. Yes, he's out there with this no-holds-barred war, but you have the Holy Spirit. You have all the power in heaven. And I don't care what he does dirty. You can counteract anything that he does by using the weapons that God has given you from heaven. So the altar's open, and God wants to touch you in such a way tonight that you're going to be totally and completely immersed in his presence. And no matter where you go or what you do, signs and wonders and miracles are going to follow you.